Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel that you heard read from Matthew chapter 5. I'd just like to return to the opening verses of this passage where Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of our Lord. There's an old saying that goes, you'll catch more flies with sugar than vinegar. And that's generally taken to mean you can get more accomplished by being kind to people rather than being a jerk, which, for the most part, is true. But it's worth noting that Jesus did not look his disciples in the eye here in Matthew 5 and say, "You are the sugar of the earth." He said, "You are the salt. You are the salt of the earth." And so it's worth our time today to think through, in what ways are followers of Jesus like salt? As an aside, it's funny that the phrase salt of the earth has come to take on a meaning of its own. It's often used to describe people who are down to earth, unpretentious, humble, good people. And don't get me wrong, those are all good qualities, but when Jesus looked his disciples in the eye and said, "You are the salt of the earth," I think he had a lot more in mind than just, "You guys are down to earth, unpretentious, humble folks." To really catch what Jesus was getting at, we have to investigate the uses of salt in the ancient world. So first off, what we can say is that salt served as a preservative. In a world without refrigerators, salt was rubbed into things like meat to prevent it from becoming totally rotten. Secondly, salt, then as now, was a flavor enhancer. You may have noticed that if you eat something salty, you become thirsty, a side effect not lost on those who would like to sell you something to drink. And salt also has antiseptic qualities. While the thought of rubbing salt in a wound might make you cringe, it works if you're trying to prevent infection. For those reasons and more, salt was and is a valuable commodity, so much so that the phrase, "He's worth his salt," reflects the ancient practice of paying soldiers their wages with bags of salt. So when Jesus tells his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth," first of all, it's a compliment. He's saying they have great value. And at the same time, Jesus is issuing a challenge to be unique. It's a challenge to bring God's truth to bear in everyday life, and it's a challenge that extends to you and to me. Through his word today, I think we can hear Jesus saying to us, "You are the salt of the earth. So get out there into a world that's rotting away and preserve something." Simply put, Christian people keep our society from totally collapsing into selfishness and greed by living Christ-like lives. And we are meant to be with Jesus out there in the world and not simply circling the wagons around our own little camp. And we can hear Jesus saying to us this morning, you are the salt of the earth, so get out there in the world with the flavor of the truth. I think you would agree from both your knowledge of God and your own life experience that apart from Jesus, there is no true lasting joy to be found in this world. And so, apart from Jesus, people chase after all kinds of things that they think are going to bring them joy and fulfillment and happiness. But time after time, those things disappoint or they simply don't last. With Jesus, though, there is flavor. There is life, the way that it was meant to be lived. As we sense the precious gifts that God gives to us every day and that we are promised do last for eternity. And we can hear Jesus saying to us this morning, you are the salt of the earth. So get out there and clean out some wounds. Like salt, the truth about Jesus might irritate the people we're trying to help, at least at first. But Jesus is all about healing. And the salt that we have to share gives life. Jesus himself kills the infection of sin, and we're called to pour him into the lives of those who are wounded and hurting. So we can hear Jesus saying to each of us today through his word, you are the salt of the earth. And those are awesome words. But there is a problem. And the problem is, there are many times when we just don't want to be salt. We don't want to be the salt Jesus is talking about. We do not want to have that unique flavor. We do not want to stick out from the crowd. We just want to blend in and not be noticed. It's kind of like the college student who was talking to his friend about an upcoming job in the North Woods that he was taking, and his friend said, I wonder if you know what you're getting into with this job. That's a pretty rough crowd up there. And after the summer passed, the two friends met again, and the one asked the other, so, what was it like being a Christian among those guys? And he said, oh, I didn't have any trouble. They never caught on. Sometimes we'd rather be bland. We'd rather blend in. It's easier to not rock the boat. And there's so much responsibility with trying to preserve a rotting society. It seems so impossible to us. And then there's the hassle and heartbreak of cleaning out somebody else's wounds, especially when we have so many of our own. Or I could simply be doing something else with my time. But I want to take you back to Jesus' words this morning. He tells us that salt that loses its saltiness is worthless. It gets thrown out. It gets trampled underfoot. If salt loses its unique properties, what's the use of keeping it around? It's all too possible to start adopting the world's spoiling values. It's too easy to become materialistic or to seek our own pleasure first and foremost. And when we do that, we're flirting with the very death of our souls. There's nothing more tragic than someone who goes from salty to tasteless. To see someone exchange the life-giving flavor of Jesus for trash. Do not let that happen to you. Be honest with God and yourself. If you've avoided being a salty Christian, confess that to Jesus. Just bring it to Him. He doesn't want to be at odds with you. He wants to forgive you. He doesn't want apathy to rule your life. He wants you to have real satisfaction, the type that comes from serving Him by serving others. He doesn't want to throw you out like old salt. He wants to use you, yes, you, to heal. He wants to use you to season. He wants to use you to preserve this world that He's made. We know this because He went through the hell of the cross to forgive your sins and mine. He rose again from the dead to give you the victory, to share it with you. And so He invites you to come and taste these things today at His table, where He serves you His own body and blood to eat and to drink. This is the flavor of forgiveness. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, through Your Son, You have declared Your disciples to be salt and light. By Your Spirit, grant that we who follow Christ would communicate Your qualities to the world around us, that Your name would be glorified. Amen.